listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only, and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 28th of October.
Okay then, it's Haim's go. Here's Mike with the sponsorship stuff before we find out what year Haim will take us back to and see if we remember anything from that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
Ando, 28th of October, heck of a day, heck of a day.
Great.
Across the years. In 2013, here's something I want to ask you about. Couldn't be bothered digging it up because I think there's better stuff to talk about on different years. But one thing I saw in the run sheet from 2013, it simply says beep test. Did we ever do a beep test on radio? People that don't remember, beep tests are the things you do at high school where you have to like run from one side of the basketball court to the other before it beeps and the beeps start getting faster and it's like a measure of how athletically gifted you are. Mike, you probably seem a bit nervous of that. I definitely have scar tissue from remembering in my high school days when I was a pretty unathletic kid, asthma, just dreading the beep test.
I don't think we would have done a beep test.
Why would we have done a beep test? Sounds like the kind of thing you would have gone, I got to level 14 on the beep test and I bet I still could or something.
Yeah. I can't remember. The reason why I doubt that I said that is because our school was one of the rare ones that didn't do the beep test.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe we couldn't, like, we definitely could afford the beeps, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've since been to your high school.
Yeah. You'd think they'd be able to afford the
beeps.
They've
got pockets deep enough for a beep.
So I don't know what that would have been.
You could have had someone there playing the beeps on a grand piano.
They would have preferred that. They were very much into the music.
Just like a big C major chord on the pipe organ getting faster and faster and faster.
I don't remember us going back to try and do a beep test.
I saw that and I was just like, why would... Because the reason I go, I don't think we would have done a beep test on radio is it's very bad radio.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
very bad radio.
I can't really... I like to think that we could try... it's an interesting puzzle to solve to go, how could you make a beep test interesting on radio, audio-wise, unless we took the concept of a beep test and applied it to something else, like so going...
Could it have been the time where Jack had to do the censor beep to block out a swear word live? Is it that kind of beep test?
Could be a beep test.
Yes.
To go, can you catch us before we swear?
Yep.
Can you
hit the beep?
And it was because Todd Sampson swore live on the show and he thought that you could live bleep it. I think that was what happened.
Gee, Mike, well done. Yes. Did you find that online?
No, I just remember that moment where Todd Sampson said the F word and then he pointed at Jack. He was like, you get the bleep already. Andy was away that day.
Before he said the F word, he goes, and actually what happened is, and get the beep ready. The guy said, get the fuck out of here. And we're like, that's not that how it works. Get the beep ready, okay?
That's hilarious. And it's amazing that, Mike, you remember that. You weren't there.
I think it was the dad show where you had Pete Hellier.
What year
Todd
was it?
Sampson.
Yeah, 2013. No, it wasn't.
It must have been. Maybe it wasn't that then.
I wasn't a dad till 2014.
But we may have done it with Jack. But maybe not in reaction. But that's
right. The get the beep ready went down as a classic moment.
Todd Sampson realizing that you can't just swear and hope that. I mean,
you have to prepare the beep. Yeah. It's just not sitting there the whole time.
And look, some panel ops would be good enough potentially, but Jack, I mean,
it requires some booting up.
Yeah. But I remember your old producer, Carly, used to send an email around if anything had to be dumped on radio, and she just sent an email to all staff saying, hey guys, Todd's just said the F word. We didn't dump it because we thought we covered it up well enough, but you didn't because he did just say the F word.
He did. But those are the days, like we've discussed before, we didn't have a delay where you can dump it now and that just means like, you know, you lose a weird amount of time, but the swear word doesn't go to air.
Yep.
The general rule we have discussed this before on this podcast where we were so scared that because they're like technically if someone complained you could like lose your lot, you know, the radio station could get in heaps of trouble. The general rule was just like don't draw attention to it, brush over it. If it was all, no harm, no foul. If everyone means well, you can kind of get away with it. Because it was more like the intention of the swear word
yes.
was the offensive thing that people found,
yep.
not an accidental one that you could cover up.
Yeah, a swear word in anger or with aggression was going to garner far more complaints.
Than Todd Sampson telling a funny story.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, that wasn't the beep test, but I don't... So some sort of beep test happened in 2013. In 2009... We had the Joyce montage on the show. And if I remember correctly,
oh, yeah.
Joyce was the listener making me give you my treadmill.
And then, well, Joyce became kind of the person we'd call if we had an argument that you couldn't resolve between the two of us. And
I didn't like calling Joyce because I just felt like she heavily favoured you and just yelled at me to give you things.
Until I sold the treadmill. So what happened was, Mike, is Hamish had a treadmill at the front of his house. It was tarped.
Oh, I had a treadmill at the house and we're like, well, look, we're not using this. Yeti. It was like the third treadmill we'd owned. Put it out the front. We had to move a bunch of furniture around. We're like, put it on the front porch.
Yep. It stayed there for yonks.
Well, then the hope was it was going to get readmitted to the house once we were back on a fitness kick.
Yep.
But it did just stay on the front porch.
Yep. And Hamish.
And he stole it.
Gave it to me, I'm pretty sure.
No. What happened was you stole it. You got someone to turn up to the house and steal it to see if I'd notice. And I didn't notice to my
you didn't to notice. Credit.
But then you had it yes. and you were like, well, I'm just going to keep it because you don't need it. And I said, well, you can buy it off me.
That's
and
right.
And you went, well, you're not using it, so I'm just going to keep it. And you'd already had it here, I think, at this stage.
Yep.
And your girlfriend was using it.
Yep. And Joyce, we rang Joyce and she rang up and said, Hamish,
he's your best friend.
you don't charge your best friend.
I was like, but he stole it, Joyce.
Hamish, he's your best friend.
I was like, Joyce, it's a $1,500 treadmill.
And then we realised we weren't using it, so I sold it on eBay.
That's right.
And so I told you that and I said, I'm keeping the money and we had to bring Joyce back.
Then
and that's when she turned back and I thought Joyce would be well on my side after the first time and I saw what Hamish had taken from Joyce and got an earful myself.
And I remember at the time going, yeah, I think you sold it for like $500 or whatever. And then me going, great, I'm going to get the $500. And she's like, no, you halve it. And I was like, why is he getting half for processing the sale? Biggest commission of all time, a 50% sales fee. Anyway, so in 2009, I'm pretty sure we had the montage of Joyce on the show. That's
great.
That brought back some great memories. 2008, on the 28th of October, it was Caravan of Courage number 2 from the bottom of the straight to the top.
Yep.
We've landed in that zone a little bit, but we were actually on the Caravan of Courage this day.
Where were we?
I think we were at our first stop in Williamstown, but not Williamstown, Melbourne. The first stop on the second Caravan of Courage was in a town in Adelaide called Williamstown.
Really?
Yeah, or Williamtown, maybe.
Williamtown, right? Okay.
It was what's noticeable about it though was it was the night after the first time I'd slept in the gorilla suit. Because I didn't bring a sleeping bag.
Hamish didn't bring a sleeping bag or a pillow.
They'd be provided.
He kept saying, I thought they'd be provided.
Which,
why?
Mike, to be honest, they were like, guys, you know, here's the caravan. Jayco are sponsoring it. It's fully kitted out. Like, this is what you're sleeping in for the trip. Sure.
No, this
well,
is,
it's like
this is the cabin you're sleeping in, not specifically what you're sleeping in.
Well, they go like, well, here's your hotel room. Oh, where's the blankets and stuff? Oh, well, we don't do that. So I was like, I assumed since the producers and stuff were like organising food and the caravan and everything, like when we turned up and we were driving along, we got to the first campsite.
Yeah, he didn't bring a sleeping bag. I was like, didn't bring undies, didn't bring a driver's license from memory, but like, did bring a gorilla suit.
Like, what am I sleeping in? They're like, well, where's your sleeping bag? It's like, well, I didn't know we were going staying over at Tim's house in year 9. I had to bring a sleeping bag. So I slept in the gorilla suit.
Yep.
It
was actually quite hot.
Too hot.
Way too hot. Yeah, I think it was the rubber, wasn't it?
It was like rubberized suit. So it was freezing, you'd put it on it, and for the first sort of 10 minutes you go, I'm not going to get warm in this.
Yep.
This is just rubber and I hate this.
Yep.
And then about 10 minutes later, you're like, I'm absolutely cooking in this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I remember sleeping
like,
one arm in,
like
one
a dishwashing
arm out.
Glove because you start getting very sweaty.
Very sweaty in there. So it was a one arm in, one arm out gorilla suit sleep. And the fur would get in your mouth.
Yep.
Yeah. It was terrible.
And we were in the caravan then at opposite ends.
Yes.
Only did we graduate to the RV where we were up at the one end together.
Yes.
Across just from each other.
Yeah, that was in America, wasn't
it? Yeah. And I just... It fascinates me that we committed to those sleeping arrangements. Where it was this, because everyone, we stopped at a caravan park, there was normally a motel besides or a cabin. And
all the crew went and stayed
in cabins. All the crew went and stayed at their own cabins, had a good time. And but we were like, no, we're doing this. Like,
it was so dumb. It was like, why am I sleeping in a gorilla suit for 10 hours or like, you know, however long we're in bed, 8 hours probably, yeah. When 50 metres away, you could just have a motel bed. But I was like, oh, no, we said we were going to do it. That's the adventure.
And always use the caravan showers, et cetera, as well.
Yeah. That was, anyway, bloody good fun though. I'm glad we did it.
I'm glad we did it.
Because I do have great memories of, you know, freezing cold mornings, just walking across the caravan park just in our undies because we'd always be on the road by like 7 o'clock, so no one else at the caravan park was up, just trudging across.
And we had very little worry about nudity in those era for some reason.
We thought you could, it was totally acceptable to just walk around everywhere in your underpants, just in our undies with our little toiletry bags, just clomping over to the to the shower block. That's not where I want to take us. I want to take us to 2014.
Great.
So a little bit more recent. I mean, I know it's still 6 years ago, but it feels a bit more recent.
So what date are we on again? Sorry?
We're on the 29th of October, 2014.
Okay.
I'm going to give you one man's name, and then we're going to let Mike do the sponsorship stuff and come back after this.
So we would have been doing...
Oh, you're not going to get us it.
Sorry, no, we would have been... The show we would have been doing, though, would have been the Happy Hour.
Yes, I believe so.
And were we still doing Drive every... once a week?
I think this was one of those years, but it was more that we were, doing a daily hour show that was, again, kind of more heavily focused on the podcast.
Yep.
I'm going to give you the one man's name now.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and Manic. Mike, what you got to do.
Well done, Mike.
Thank you.
Tim and Manic, what a journey. You sold... Well, we did sell. I'm not trying to pin it on you if the authorities come. But
I certainly led the charge.
Yeah, of selling Tim O'Matic's signature as done by Hamish.
Yep.
You and I have recently trademarked our Hamish and Andy.
Yeah.
It took us all these years, Mike, 20 years. We're like, well, if you get around to doing that, Tim O'Matic should have as well.
He would have had a bit more of a leg to stand on.
But
I think this started, from memory, and I don't think this is the break we've got here. It started, we had his phone number, right? Mm. And then we're like, what's a funny thing we can do with Tim-O-Matic? I can't remember where this idea came from, but I remember calling him pretending, I think we might have gone into the studio and his phone number was still in the system.
No, here's what I think happened. Didn't we do a prank on him?
I remember the prank, but I don't know why we had his number.
Right.
So I called him, I was like, hey man, it's Jerry here from Today FM, because I think he'd been in the Sydney studios.
Yep.
Oh no, that's right. He'd been in Melbourne. Pretending he was in Sydney,
right?
Like landlining it for maybe.
He was
Australia's
on
Got Talent or X Factor or something. He was one of the judges on a show like that.
Yep.
So he'd been like.
Well, I think he was discovered on Australia's Got Talent, and he won that, and he won the opportunity to present on another show called The X Factor, which is just incredible.
That's amazing. Yep. Well, real rags to riches. I think what had happened was he had been in. Doing an interview with whatever, Colin Jackie or someone, and he's in Melbourne linking up studios. We see his number still in the system, right? Somehow. Or his phone number on the desk or whatever. I remember then calling and going, hey, man, it's, Jamie here from Today FM in Sydney with Colin Jackie. Hey, everyone that comes on the show, we get them to sign the wall. Yep. We have a celebrity wall.
A celebrity wall.
Now, I know you're in Melbourne, so just describe your autograph to me. And I'm going to sign for you just so we've like got you part of the show. And he was like, oh.
I'd prefer to come back.
Yeah,
and do
why don't I do it? And I'm there next to like, nah, man, like, we just like to get it done on the day. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, why don't I send you a photo? I was like, I'm right here. Just tell me, verbally describe your autograph. So he's like, okay.
Which is impossible to do.
He's like, it's a T and so like a normal size downstroke and then quite a long upper.
On it.
Quite a long like lateral stroke on the T. Then kind of like cursive is like emematic.
Yeah.
And then the dots kind of like land above that lateral stroke on the T. So really trying my best to do it.
Yeah.
And then... I think we had a laugh. I'm like, no, sorry, mate. It's just Hamish and Andy here. But then we were like, can you send us your autograph?
Or did we send us yours? And he went, that's really close.
Yeah, I think it was just like, actually send us yours because I'd like to see how close we got.
Yeah.
Then I realised I'd done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And from there I realised, well, since I can do Tim O'Matic's autograph, I've obviously got a natural skill at this. Could we leverage this into a business?
Yep.
And I started selling Tim O'Matic's autograph on the show, I think for $5 a pop.
Mm.
The price fluctuated from...
It did.
Show to show.
At times there was a wedding offer. where it was. It was on the back of coasters.
Can't remember. Yeah, I was selling one of the show's coasters.
Yeah.
And we were getting a lot of orders for them. In fact, at one stage, my days were mostly taken up doing his autograph. I don't know what this is. This is so 28th of October. It's just Tim-O-Matic update.
Great.
Like, that's all it says. Mm. Let's have a listen.
The 28th of October, 2014.
Happy hour. Hamish and Andy with you. Before we go, Ham, I've got some pretty, pretty scary news. It's to do with your business selling Tim-O-Matic autographs.
Well, Andy, I've also got some scary news. But you go first.
People don't know Hamish sells performers, Tim-O-Matic, singer, yes, dancer, sometimes judge, performer,
yep,
his autograph,
yep,
online.
I found out I had a talent, and that talent was to be able to do Tim-O-Matic's autograph.
Yep.
Do I let this talent go to waste, even though God has given it to me? No, that's an insult to God. I must get my talent out there. I have a gift, and people have acknowledged that, Ando. Yep. HamishNandy.com, we have sold a lot of Tim-O-Matic's autograph. Comes on the back of a happy hour coaster. Mm. I believe it's at $8 at the moment. The Christmas
770.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I dropped the prices, yep, as a thank you to all my loyal customers.
Well,
the Christmas edition is currently for sale,
mm-hmm,
where the signature is red and the dot is green, or the signature is green and the dot on the eye of the Tim-O-Matic is red.
Well, here's the bad news. There's another person in the market selling them.
Son of a... Well, that's copying. I don't think that's... I have an ethical issue with that.
Here's the predicament for
what
you.
What have they done?
His name's Marcus. He seems like he has it down pat.
What do you, have you got a picture of one of his autographs?
Yeah, I've got it for you here.
Give us a look. I'll be the judge on whether or not this hack can do the autograph. That is so bad, mate, and I'm not just saying that.
That is pretty close to what you're
that
doing.
That is horrible. Show it to me again. That's an insult. Do not buy one of Marcus's. Firstly,
yep,
the downstroke of the capital T does not have a return to the top. It is a single stroke.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, don't give him the tips, mate, because I reckon that's pretty close.
I reckon that's junk. As if you've you'll never see me doing a signature like that, guys. And that's what I'm talking about. When you're buying Tim-O-Matic's autograph,
yeah,
please make sure you get go for one of the quality distributors.
He's selling them for $2 a pop.
There are guys out there like this.
He's undercut you on price.
Do you know what? Yeah. Fine. And I stand by my quality price because you'll have a junk autograph at $2.
You will.
It's a piece of, it's just an insult to those of us that actually take time,
yep,
and put effort and craft into autographs, and it looks like he's just done it on pen on thin paper.
Well,
I use a top-of-the-range Sharpie, celebrity's choice for when they're doing autographs, and I put it on a thick coaster.
He's now going on to coasters.
Good luck, mate. And is it in his postage and handling included? In his $2? I bet it's extra.
It'd probably have to be extra.
He's just a shonky operator. I don't like the sounds of this guy at all. No, not one bit, sir.
Yeah.
And I am just, and I'm glad you brought it up. I report this guy to the ACCC.
Well, you might,
because he's selling an inferior product. Whereas you come to me and you know you get the top of the line quality Tim-O-Matic autograph.
When Virgin Airlines came in, yep, to the mix, Qantas had to pull their prices down.
Well, yeah, that's a price war.
Yeah.
But because...
Are you in a price war with...
Because the market could reasonably think that they were both offering a similar quality.
Well, some people...
The market does not think that in this case. A little bit of economics 101. The market won't be fooled by that. I'm not scared by him for 1 second. Festive Tim-O-Matic autographs remain on sale at the very fair price of $7.70. That's postage included. HamishAndy.com. Get your bulk orders in for Christmas. Makes a wonderful gift
for
anyone that has...
And festy ones.
What's it?
Terrible, infested.
Terrible festy ones from Marcus.
$2 a pop.
But you are not covered. There's no warranty, and I'd highly doubt they have a customer service division like we do.
What's the warranty that you're going at the moment? How much? How many years' warranty do you have at the moment?
Like years, obviously. You're covered for the first half an hour that you open it up.
So we've got time for today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh.
HamishNandy.com. For anything you may have missed, the podcast is there.
How do you know you're on the top? Because people start imitating you.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
That's how Tim-O-Matic knew he was on the top.
God, it gave us a lot of joy, the Tim-O-Matic autograph.
Yeah.
Loved it.
He was pretty good about it.
He was pretty good. There was one, once it started gathering a bit of steam, Mike, he caught on.
Yeah.
Well, he heard about it,
yeah,
and he someone must have sent him a picture because he put on Twitter a photo of the autograph and someone would be like, you know, some like best $770 I've ever spent, whatever, and send it to Tim O'Matic. He reposted that, like he, and then like put it on Twitter going, ha ha, hey Hamish Andy, ha ha ha, where's my cut?
Yeah.
And we're about going, keep your nose out of this, it's got nothing to do with you. Our policy was a firm, yeah. Mate, this has got absolutely nothing to do
nothing
with you.
Nothing to do with him.
Mate, well, this is me doing a thing on my show with my friend and we are selling them to our listeners. It's got nothing to do with you. Keep your snout out of it, you money-grubbing bandit.
Yeah, what a greedy bastard.
What a greedy bastard. And then at the end of the year, I decided like the workload was getting too much and for people familiar with the movie version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like Willy Wonka, kind of knowing that he can't do this forever and he's got to hand the talent on to the younger generation or somebody else that has the passion, and that's why he picks Charlie, spoiler alert.
You picked Tim.
Well, I ran auditions and then I said, I found someone that can do the autograph and he can have the business from now on. And it was Tim O'Matic and he came in to officially, I've still got the photo. And it pops up in my phone.
It had nothing to do with his lawyers sending us a letter.
Still got the photo on my phone of us shaking hands with Tim O'Matic at the official business handover. It pops up from time to time.
That's a great memory.
Listener.